Let's get started.
All right, what's going on?
I don't know. I would love to say something like, awesome shit and all that, but really nothing. Just getting my coffee together, having some oatmeal, destroying some children in video games. What you
You
into
know,
today?
I forgot that you guys are an hour ahead of me. So I'm over here thinking I got like an extra hour. I slept in. I was just laying around. My girl went to work early, so I'm just being a lazy piece of shit,
Right.
I'm like, oh, I gotta get up and get ready.
Well, good. Good.
Yeah.
Surprises are better. They're like the spice of life, the variety of life.
Yeah.
If you expect everything, how fun is that?
Yeah.
Bam, first time I think I've said your name, so that's kind of an introduction. Let's do an introduction and give us some ideas of where people can follow you because you're a tattoo artist that people should follow.
That's right. On Instagram, I am vampiro.ill. Or you can go to Facebook. I am Vampiro, but it's VAM space PIRO. You know how Facebook is with real names and all that.
Okay, well, I vaguely do. I got off because I don't do Facebook anymore, so I have no
Yeah,
idea.
I've been on a
Also,
social
even
media break myself.
are you?
Yeah, just for a
What's
little bit.
inspiring your social media break?
I don't know. I just wanted to get away from it for a second. I'm really just trying to focus more on like drawing and real life,
It takes you away from that stuff.
Yeah.
Like we somewhat. As
Yes,
artists, you kind of draw because you're bored. And when you're not bored, which is what Facebook gives you is not boredom,
it's
then
like a lot
you
of
don't
extra
have to draw.
drama too, So and so liked this picture. Oh, did you see these people are doing this? It's like, all right, I don't really care, man. None of this is actually benefiting me. Let me just try and work on stuff that actually will,
Yeah, I do. I do. It became the number one place for your political opinion to be stated, and the absolute number zero place for your opinions to be tested, changed, to listen. It's like everybody, now that we can all speak and we've got kind of equal publication of our thoughts, it kind of no longer has that hierarchy of who we trust and stuff. It's just like, no, this is what I think. You can't change that. Don't change that. It's not possible.
Imagine it's the same thing as being in a room packed full of people all just yelling and shouting at the same time. It's just like, all right, I gotta get the fuck out of here for a second,
Yeah,
Let
the
me get
only
some
one you
air.
want to pay attention to is the one, look at my dog. It's so cute.
You didn't look at my dog. How dare you? Like, oh man.
But they got a point there because they saw me probably arguing about some shit that didn't fucking matter in the real end of it, you know?
I think people miss the big idea of I would like I've said this for the longest. I don't understand if like people who have social media, but they're not using it for like I think it's a tool. It's advertisement. It's a portfolio. It's a resource. Use it as a resource. If I want some information, if I'm searching something up, I'm like a real I get like I have ADHD crazy, so when I have my hyperfixation, I'm gonna start going to every resource I can to try and learn about whatever I'm fixating in at the moment. So it's like if I'm really trying to figure out like how new swords or daggers I want to draw, I'm gonna try and figure out like medieval ones, fantasy ones. I'm gonna go into all these pages of other artists who do similar stuff or even some of the history of it. And so like that is the part of it I do like and I do kind of miss is like using it as a resource. It's the information. We don't have to go to the library now. We don't have to hunt and make calls and actually like meet up with people. I can just hop on my phone and Google 10,000 swords and something,
Yeah,
Just an
I
example.
wonder who's hated the advent of these apps more, and I'm betting it's probably the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah, good luck selling those door to door now, huh?
Yeah, good luck. It's like, no, paper's going to be valuable. Trust me. It will eventually. When everybody doesn't have shit. And there's some honesty there too, right? Like this, with everything being stored on servers, a couple of good EMPs could wipe out all that information. And then
And
where are
go
we at?
gone.
And you're going to need some of them encyclopedias,
Yeah,
perhaps. But that's me
perhaps.
complaining. What's fixating you now? Currently, what is the thing that you're going to and looking at?
Right now I'm actually all over the place, man. I've been like I always tell a lot of people because I get a lot of questions like, oh, how do you do that style? How do you do this style of lettering? How do I get better at lettering? And so like with me, they hate to hear it, but it's like, man, it's practice, So
They
it's
hate to hear
practice.
that,
They fucking hate it. It's like, wow, you think they think that I'm gonna tell them to wrap a fucking piece of bacon around their hand, wake up and cook it in the morning, and you got letters better. You know, it's like
you should start saying make up some stuff.
Dip your hand in ink and leave it there for 2 days. You know,
my wrestling coach, he asked me once. He said, I think I was making fun of somebody because I heard they had lucky underwear. I think he said something like that before a meet. He was like, hey, everybody get your lucky underwear washed. Yeah. If you wash them, I think was what he said, and have them ready. And then I'm like, lucky underwear. And he's like, you got a pair of lucky underwear? I'm like, no. No. And he's like, you better fucking get some. I don't think he swore, but
yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's like preparation like sorts, you know, yeah, the placebo effect. Yeah. I played pool with a guy and he's got this badass stick. I'm like, man, that's a nice stick. He says, yeah, it's like $2,700. I'm like, wow, man. But hey, let me ask you a question, because I got this special predator tip on my stick and it's like a $300 to $400 stick, but they're certainly not as pretty. But what makes your stick better than mine? And he's like, well, I got an Egyptian thread on the thing. Ooh. I was like, yeah, but does that give you a better grip? He's like, no, it's Egyptian thread on the handle. I'm like, yeah. But he's like, I've got pearl inlays. You know, all these spikes. Look at all these arrows pointing down. Those are all pearl inlays.
But what does that do to your game?
Exactly. And I'm like, so when you hit the ball, what is that? What's the benefit? And he's like, it's not when I hit the ball. When I hit the ball, it's the exact same as everybody else. It's when I go and I pull it out of its case.
Right.
It's a $2,700 stick. Somebody sees me coming up, I have to play to a level. You can't come out and just start slopping balls in.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's just, I'm thinking, what could we say? Like, wrap your hand in bacon. They're not going to cook their hand in the morning.
You know, that's what I'm getting at. It's like, you know, it's like that extra motivation, like you say with the pool stick. It's like, he has that extra motivation. It's like, all right, I got to perform to this level. If I'm going to play this role, I better fucking live up to what I'm doing, you know? So it's like.
Well, maybe there's a secret in there for you. I mean, you know? Obviously, so what I'm going to say is when you practice it, you have to have a love for something. You're just like, I ain't doing it. You know, you can sign me up for piano lessons tomorrow and right. I will go to the piano lessons. And I'll listen to the teacher. She's going to give me some homework and I'm going to go home and not fucking do it.
Because you don't want to. You don't really care about it.
I don't give a fuck about the piano. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Right.
Exactly.
So maybe, your advice would be to become inspired by that very thing.
Yeah.
And if they're just looking for, so I imagine right away, they're like, dude, you just lost some letter. And which we should probably get to, because you do awesome lettering. Not only that, though, I know you as a tattoo artist. Like when we travel, you're always doing lettering for the most part at conventions. Right. But you tell me that you do all kinds of tattoos.
That's right.
Okay. Right on. So when people ask you then about these, about getting better at lettering, many of them, I'm guessing in this instance, when they're not excited to hear, it's as simple as practice. Cause honestly, that's kind of like, if you say practice, you're like, oh, it's that simple. I just practice. Like that's actually pretty simple. Like dedicate an hour every day to lettering. And I bet your lettering skyrockets. But to do that, you're going to have a desire. These people are asking you and they don't really have a desire to do lettering. They're just like, man, I wish when somebody came in for lettering, I turned out what you produce.
Yeah.
But when they come in for lettering, I just fucking write this shit down, tell them.
Type some shit out on the computer, you know?
Yeah, I do. Cause that's what I do. I haven't done lettering for years. I used to swear it off. And after Ink Master, I thought I could never do it again. Right. And the reason I hate lettering, like literally hate it, if I really get down into it, is because misspelling words on skin sucks.
Yeah. I think, honestly, let's be honest. Everyone's done it. I've done it. If you say you haven't, you're a fucking liar. You know?
Or you're not doing lettering. You say you haven't, you're doing portraiture.
Yeah, like it happens. You know, I say 99% or 80% of the time, it's usually the client's fault. You know, I don't know how to spell your kid's name. Write it down for me. I'm gonna put up whatever you write down on you. You know,
but there is that 10% then occasionally, huh? Like, where you look at what they wrote down and you're like, fuck, how did I forget the I?
You know, people forget we're fucking humans. So it's like, hey man, maybe I'm like in a rush to get here. My fucking the fucking my phone died. You know, it's like you're having a long day, you're getting a little argument. The kids are giving you the fuss this morning. You get there, your head's not all in the game, you know? So it's like, man, shit happens. Has it
Have
happened to
you?
me recently? No.
Okay.
It's
Have
been a
you
long
ever?
time.
I've
Learned my
done
lesson.
this where I find myself, I'm tattooing, and I get to a letter, and I'm like, I pause on it for a second.
Get that mini heart attack.
But I just fucking do it, right? Because there it is. And then I get the mini heart attacks. I'm like, wait, is that spelled right? And then I say something like, actually, isn't that supposed to be an I instead of a D or something? He's like, yeah, I was wondering how you were going to address that. And you're like, so you watched me?
And you didn't say anything?
You just sat there and was like, yeah, I wonder how he's going to fix that. Like, because that's my plan. Anyways, that's me griping about lettering.
No,
Let's
I hear
stop
you.
that though. When you're at home, because you do this super awesome black gothic lettering. And give me your Instagram again, please, so people could possibly follow along.
It's Vampiro, VAMPIRO dot ILL.
Dot ILL. Oh, Vampiro is ill. The illest.
The illest.
And so you do like a gothic style that's reminiscent of tribal.
Actually, I compare. I tell people a lot of times when I'm working, it's like it reminds me of back in the day when I first started tattooing, and I used to hate doing these little fucking tribal patterns, the little armbands, little stuff around the roses. Like it's just like so tedious work, and I don't know how, but I developed a style on my own. That's pretty much all I'm doing, you know.
And you used
Sometimes,
to hate
yeah, I used to hate it. Now I love it. It's
it.
weird. It's
Okay.
funny how that works, right?
Was it was you couldn't make those maneuvers in the skin as easily when you were younger, maybe that's why you hated it, because
I
the
think I
results
had
weren't as
less
good.
patience. You know, I had less patience, and I looked at it like, you know, those old tribal, what was the Chuck and Spalding books, you know? I had those, and it's like, man, these are just like, I wasn't really into the aesthetic, you know? And I had less patience back then. I didn't want to sit there just filling in little circles in black, little circles in black, little circle. And then I didn't really have a technique. I didn't know what I was doing then. So it was like, my outcome wasn't always what I wanted. So it was like,
So
it was real easy to lose patience with it.
when you're doing lettering, is it possible that because it has actual a meaning, does that give you more patience? Like, I wonder if the tribal was like, it means nothing. It's just fucking black work on the skin. This guy wants it like that, and he don't have an
It's
idea
like,
instead of
it's like this is like, I'm not, my heart really wasn't into it, you know. But now
right.
it's like, even now it's like, we even go back to the misspelling of things. Now when I look at some lettering that I'm doing, especially like at conventions, you know how it is, man. It's like you figure it out, you gotta figure everything out on the spot. But that's why I tell people, practice, you know, like at home. I mean, you see boxers when they're not in a fighting, when they're not fighting in a fucking match, they're at home. They're doing their cardio. They're hit doing their bag work. They're working on combinations. They're practicing. These guys practice a lot. When I'm home, I'm sitting here practicing alphabets. I'm writing words. I'm figuring out shading. I'm trying to figure out like what will fit and look cool with different parts of the body. What
Even
parts can I
still today,
accentuate?
these days, you're still drawing that much.
So that way, when it comes to like me at a convention and somebody walks up, hey, I want dumbass tattooed on my stomach, big as hell. I'm ready. I know how to do a cool ass D. I know how to do a cool ass S. I can lay this out real cool, you know? It's like, I'm ready. You know, I'm not, it's not like, I'm figuring out as I go. I'm like, no, I got a nice little arsenal of different letters and stuff or a combination of things that I can do. So
It's
now,
interesting because it also seems like that then would give you, as we were talking before, practice. You only practice if you have a desire or if you like something. And if you have like this, if you've done enough practice, now this guy comes in and says, dumbass, and you're like, man, this is stupid as shit to put on your stomach. But I've got this badass D. I got these badass S's.
I'm
I
gonna make it
can't
look
wait.
cool as fuck. This will be the coolest dumbass ever, you know?
Yeah. Coolest dumbass.
And that, you know, and that's what it goes into. It's like, so now it's not like I'm sitting here like, oh, I'm just doing this. I'm just packing black. It's like, nah, now I got a goal. It's like, okay, I have a layout. I want to see it come together. So now I'm more motivated. It's like, all right, this is just part of the process. And I actually like seeing the piece come together. I like, you know, you've seen me work, man. My outlines look fucking crazy. When I'm drawing and using the marker, it looks like, you know, I'm sure some people look at it like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, what is he doing? You know, like.
Well, like a train when it passes by us and we're stopped at it and we're like, I can't read that, but boy, that looks cool.
You know, so like the process, it looks the it's a process, man. You gotta trust the process and just get through with it. So now it's like, all right, I'm not just packing black. I'm making something that's gonna end up cool. You know, there's an end result that I'm working towards.
What makes your approach different than others? I see other people doing Gothic, and you could argue, I suppose, that they're actually similar, but I feel when I see work that you've done, I'll be like, Vampiro? And I've been right enough times that I think that it's, I must be able to see something that's of your work. Is there something that you feel is separates you from others doing similar work?
I feel like my style isn't exactly like, I mean, it's something you could see maybe on a death metal album or something, but I mean, before I was doing Gothic Letters, I was doing everything obviously when I first started, but I've always stuck to like cursive and old English, like regular letters, especially where I'm from, man. You know, everybody's getting their hood on them, their girl's name, stuff like that. So like I went from a basic lettering foundation, and you know, and like, you know, just how things are over here, old English is it's a big part of our culture. Everybody has their neighborhood, their last name. We grew up seeing that from when we're young. So like old English is something I've always been fascinated with. And then
Where
when
is
I
out
took
here?
that, what's up?
Where is out here? Give the
Oh,
people an
I'm out here
idea
in
where you're
Aurora, Illinois. I'm like 40 minutes outside Chicago, you guys.
and everybody's getting their hood tattooed on them,
Yeah, man, everybody's
their
got their
area
block,
code.
their gang shit on them. You see it, man. You see a lot of that. You're gonna see old English. You walk by, you're gonna see old English tagged on the walls, all that stuff, especially in the city.
And you definitely have a old English inspiration in your tattoos, but I wouldn't call it old English, would you?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. What I was getting at is like, you know, I grew up on this. This is part of my culture. This is part of who I am. And then also, I mean, I love dark imagery. I've always been like a weirdo kid. So when I applied that, when I just basically combined those two things, I was doing just regular cursive and stuff before to make everyone happy. When I started actually applying myself to my own art, now we got a little gothic twist to these old English letters, to these cursive letters. You know, now I'm adding a little things that are different. You might not see it. It's like, man, there are thugs who kind of like my stuff, and then you might see some weird gothic kid from working Hot Topic or something who also likes my stuff. I'm not insulting gosh or nothing, but I'm just trying to give an example, stereotypes
Well,
that
you said
my stuff is
weird
everywhere. It's
gothic
kind of, you know,
kid.
it's like it's niche,
Well,
you know,
you
so it's
also
gonna
said that you were weird though when you were little, so it ain't like that. Yeah, you ain't cutting nothing down there.
you know what I'm saying? So I just want to make it clear. But you know, so it's like I like, you know, it's like pretty much like it's different. It has a little bit of both. And that's what I really try and portray, what I really try and put out there. I'm always pushing it though. You know, sometimes it might be a little more crazier, sometimes it might be pretty simple, you
Well,
know?
people ask for crazy occasionally too, or so
Yeah, I
I've
love it.
seen. I mean, and here's the thing that of interest about your style of tattoo, or just you. Maybe it's just you. I don't know what it is, but I have noticed if we go to a tattoo convention, and I'm not, of course, it always matters for everybody else's tattooing what the door is. However, for you, it's almost better with a slow door because you tattoo a large number of tattoo artists. And so, like, if it's a slow door, you know that there's going to be a 100 tattoo artists that would like, yeah, I'll get tattooed by you. I've got nothing but time.
Not if they're not making money that
Yeah, I
weekend,
guess that's the draw.
though.
You're like, Good Friday, hopefully, slow Saturday.
Yeah.
Book up
Sundays are my
Saturday, Sunday.
busiest days. You know, at a convention, man. You try to get in on
Yeah,
Sunday, I'm busy.
because they're like, hey, dude, I made enough Friday, Saturday. I can get my face blasted up.
And you know what, man? I like that's like one thing that like I'm 33 right now. I've been tattooing since I was 17, and I remember back then, I like tattooing another tattooer was such a nerve-wracking thing to me. It was like, wow, like this is fucking crazy. Like, you know, another person doing the same thing I do wants my stuff on them, you know. And now you see, man, I'm hitting everybody's face. Everybody has a piece by me on there. I do a lot of face tattoos, and I
In
love
the
it, man. It
most
humbles me.
prominent space available. Is that maybe that's why you like lettering so much? It's because you're like, dude, it gives me the best spots.
Yeah, it does. It
Like, oh,
does.
do you have a Guy Atchison back piece? Yeah, real cool. No one sees
Yeah, that's a
it.
kind of a double-edged sword though, man. I get tired of doing throats and knuckles, and I get the hard
Yeah.
spots too. I'm like, ah.
I now I think, but yeah, fuck that actually, huh?
You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, I love your
Yeah.
stuff. You think you want to tattoo the bottom of my foot? I'm like, oh,
Well, that throat,
sure. You
man, all
know?
the angles you got to get around for the throat and just all the pain you got to deal with. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, but I'm having a harder time dealing with people's pain tolerance or the lack of it, is, and maybe it's because the opioid epidemic lowered everybody's pain tolerances or something in the world. But
I don't know. People are soft nowadays.
dude,
People are
is
soft. Let's
I
be
want to say
honest.
it's
People are
just
soft.
me,
Nah,
but
it's the I don't know what it is, man. People nowadays, like, I don't know.
People are funny. They'll be like, "I want to book your full day," and then you tell them the full day price. And I'm like, "Man, that's pretty pricey. Like, we can get a lot done." And then they book your full day. You start tattooing them. They're like 3 hours into it. They're like, "Man, I don't know."
Fuck this. Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, hold up, dude. You're like, you know, I don't. I mean, I'm not going to hit you on a full day price if you called it halfway through. But I didn't set somebody up behind you.
Right.
Like my paycheck just changed because of your lack of ability. And so I've learned to. I'm trying to be super gentle, like hit people gentle. And then that's what actually, because you're like, dude, when I was a kid, I would push this ink in, you
Yeah.
know, bury the tube.
Yeah, I mean, we had the fucking coil. We had coils, man. Like,
Yeah,
I trip
that's true.
sometimes, man. I still have some of my coils, and I still sit there thinking, like, wow, I can't believe I used to just run these things all fucking day and night. Like, wow.
But now the coil kind of backed off on the pain. Is that what you're thinking too? Like you could set some depth out there for your needle. You start tattooing with a coil. It wasn't going that deep. But these
Yeah, but I don't know.
rotaries.
Sometimes, but I feel like we had like I don't know. Like my first couple tattoos, or even some I've done on myself. I'm like, wow, I can't believe I shoved that needle that deep in
Yeah.
there.
Yeah, that's when I'm balancing on that side of like trying to be so gentle. I this last weekend I tattooed a girl on her back. And I tattoo her, and she was having a hard time with it. So I'm like trying to use a little lidocaine here and there, you know. And I put a little lidocaine on her, and I was like, "Is that enough time?" I was letting it the top side kind of soak in, and I was just getting a little bottom down by the lower back. And I say, she jumps on the first one. I'm like, "Whoa, okay, let me try and hit it a little gentler. We'll see how that does." I run my machine. I don't even touch her skin.
She's jumping and doing all this extra stuff.
You know it.
Yep, I
And I'm
know.
like, what happened?
I
Because
know.
see, that's as gentle as not tattooing is as gentle as I can do.
You're right. It's like, yeah, you're just doing extra now.
She was fasting though, too, to be honest. Like, she was a fighter, and so she was trying to get her weight down a little bit, and she's familiar with just like not eating. And it got to be the worst thing for like if you're going through a fast and you're going to get a tattoo, not today. You're not fasting today. I don't care if it's
Yeah,
Ramadan
you
or
need some
what. Fucking.
food.
Yeah, put something in you and
Yeah,
then get up
you're
here.
nice to put lidocaine on it though, man. I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of a brute. Not in the fact that I'm sitting there pushing hard as hell or anything, but like I want to get the process done. I'm real big on just being natural. I usually use like a lot of water. I dry wipe a lot, you know. Yeah, I mean, but for me, it's like, man, because I'm freehanding, so I'm not really. I don't want to get rid of my marker sketch right away.
Yeah.
You know, once I'm done, once I get past that outline, I can get rid of that marker sketch. Okay, we could have a little more finesse. And then
Let me.
I do try and make sure that, like, even when I'm packing the black, like a lot of people think when you're packing black, you gotta go fucking crazy hard and you gotta just jam it in there. And sometimes it's actually just like slow saturation. It's about massaging it in. I want your skin to be able to take this black and I want to be out of it. I don't want to damage anymore. I want it to heal as smooth as they can, you know? But again, the problem is I'm in these areas, man. You know, you're doing your rib cage, you're doing your sternum, your throat. It's like it's gonna hurt. It's gonna suck a little bit,
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah, especially if you're dry wiping.
Yeah.
But let's go
All
over
right.
your
Dry
process a little
dabbing.
bit.
There we go. I'm dry
Dry
dabbing.
dabbing. Okay.
I
That is
dab.
a lot nicer. Dry wiping sounds just terrible. I mean, if you apply it to anything, you're like, you're going to blow your nose. I was going to dry wipe it. Ooh, no, thank you. Changing the baby diaper. Yeah, just do a dry wipe on that. No, probably going to need the wet nap or whatnot. But what when we, so any processes or technical things that you bring to your tattoos that you feel might be different than others too, or unique?
Don't really know, man. Like I said, I feel like just that process. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Well, one, I've seen you line, and not with every tattoo, but I've seen you color in with your liner. You pretty much just did an outside outline, and then you started to run a line right next to that line, and then a line next to that line, and a line next to that line.
And that's what I might go into where it's like I want to like I always tell people like, man, you know, this is an extreme looking tattoo. It's gonna be an extreme process. Sometimes it's like all this crazy shit is gonna be, it's kind of crazy, you know? So like in order for me to like I said, I want to get that black in. I don't want to go over the skin too many times. I don't want to do several passes. I like one hitter quitters, man. If I can get this in with a solid line, it's like I'll outline them real quick just so I can get rid of my marker sketch. Sometimes my initial outline isn't even that clean because I'm gonna come back, and especially if I'm doing faces or knuckles or things like that, and it's not too thick of a letter, why would I use a mag where I'm sitting there trying to figure out my angle. You see, my style has a lot of cuts and cracks and stuff. So to work around all that with like a 7 mag, I'm overlaying a lot. So I'm doing a lot of overlapping on skin that I've touched already. And I'm not really getting a smooth saturation. I'm kind of tearing your skin up if I do that. So what you see me is like, I'll bust out a round shader and I'll do a line up and down and up and down. And then we got those in there. And then to just fill in for any gaps that might be in between, or just to make sure I'm hitting like every pore, I might do a crosshatch and just go down real fast the opposite direction, you know?
With the liners or with the shader.
With the liner. Yeah. So basically I do a vertical and a horizontal crosshatch. Yeah. And that's a lot of people that do that. Even if I'm using a mag and it's a wider letter, I'll take the mag and I'll make sure to where the ends, the tips, the side to side are going vertical, and I'll kind of move in a circular motion. I'll go from right to left, and then I'll turn it 90 degrees, and I'll go from bottom to top, and then boom, that area is done. We don't need to touch it anymore, you know?
Yeah, I do, because that's actually how I was told by an old timer when I was young in the industry. Joe Satterwhite. He showed me how to do tribal, and he just turned his mag and just went down, went up, went down, went up. He like hit this whole section, and then he went from the side. He crossed that 90 degrees, and he says sometimes I might go in from a diagonal from here, you know, so I might turn a 45.
Yeah,
but usually that 90 is all you need.
Yeah, and then it's crazy, man, because like, you know, some of these stuff, you hear these old timers, you hear a lot of people talk about these techniques and stuff like that, and you don't really apply it. Sometimes I feel like people get too lost in the image or the shape they're working on, or they just want to go move real fast, and they end up skipping it. And it's like, man, sometimes like you got to go back to the basics, you know? I feel like a lot of just what we do is just common sense.
But sometimes you'll see that inside of I feel like, especially I do a lot of cover-ups, and I kind of you have that moment where you put yourself in the shoes of the original artist, and you're like, you figure out his mistakes that he made and how he was feeling when he did different things. Then there'll be this area. So it's, say it's a circle or, you know, any kind of area, it's already outlined, and then they get into the coloring, and maybe it's supposed to be solid in that area, but they approach it from this side and that goes for a little while. And then they approach it from this side and that goes for a little while. And then they try this from the top and they try that. And when they get to the gravy, as we would call it when we were roofing, the big open section, right, where they're nowhere near their lines, it seems to sometimes be the absolute worst in there. You can see through everything they did, and it's because they, to me, my observation, they're not moving their hand consistently, so they can't expect the result to look consistent.
Right.
They're using a different bridge every time they set it down. They're working the puddle a little bit different, and it's like, that is just the confusion. I can see it in the tattoo.
Right. That, it's the same. It's the same thing. Like with black, I can look at somebody's black work or something and be like, okay, I can see you were like, I can almost tell if they were like kind of do a zigzag, if they're doing the tiny circles, you know, like, I don't know. Some people, they'll take the mag, and instead of using it like, you know, the wide end hitting most of the space, they'll use the opposite end, almost like they're doing hair, and it's like, you know, it's like, you can tell some pieces like where people, because I do a lot of like blast overs too, and I can see like almost where the artist, he got tired of here. Like, he just wanted to fucking finish at this point, you know? Like,
He needed a cigarette. He pushed him too long. Or, or oftentimes when we're doing cover-ups, they're like, I don't know, he stepped out for like 15 minutes, came back, and fell asleep on my tattoo.
I look at it too, because, like, man, like when I tattoo at home and when I tattoo at a convention, it's a lot different. The process is way different. So usually when I'm home, what's up?
I said, explain, please.
Yeah, like usually when, like at a convention, man, you see me, man, I'm back to back. I'm boom, 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 boom. It's hard for me to remember names and faces sometimes. It's like, I'm just like, we're just getting it. I'm doing a lot of faces and I'm doing a lot of shit that I got to focus on. So it's like, my head is in the art, you know, like I already know if, let's say I'm working on something right now, and then I know the next piece that I'm tattooing is going to be one of my spiders or my dagger. I'm already in my head thinking like how I'm going to execute it before they even come back to the table, you know? So whereas like at home, I'll probably only book like one or two pieces a day, depending on what they are. If it's a bigger piece, then yeah, we're just doing that today. I'm moving slow as hell. I'm taking breaks. We're gonna smoke a joint outside. You know, like I'm like.
So which do you like better then, tattooing at home or on the road?
don't know, man. I got a love and hate for both of them, honestly.
I figured. Yeah, I was like, really, as I'm asking the question, I'm like, it's more better to, it would be better, more better. It would be better to ask, you know, what parts do you hate about tattooing at home? What parts do you hate about tattooing on the road?
Yeah, I think
Those
about
things.
being at home is like, I like just like when I'm in the zone, like sometimes when I'm doing these big pieces, especially if I'm doing like a stomach or a throat or something. Here, I tell a lot of my clients, like I'll tell them, like, look, man, like it's just us in here right now. If you got a vent, you want to yell, scream, you know, no one's here to judge you. I'm not judging you. I understand this shit hurts. You know, like you're not looking weird or crazy to me. Like I'm not
Yeah.
judging. Let's go ahead, let it out, dude. You know, like let's fucking get through it.
Now,
You
what
know,
about the
you
other
want to
people in your
hang out for
shop?
20 minutes, order some food, do it. I don't care. You paid for the day. You
Yeah.
know, like you got it, man. I ain't doing nothing today. I didn't plan nothing else.
Are
So whereas,
you
what's up?
alone in your shop then, or do you have other artists working there?
I have other artists working there. I got one of my guys. He's actually tattooing like right now. I told him he got to shut up.
But they don't, okay, so it's different for his customers then. You're like,
No,
tell
yeah,
that
no. It's
guy to
just
quit
like
screaming.
usually not everyone's here at the same time. We got four of us. We
Yeah.
all work by appointment only, so it's
Oh,
rare
cool.
there's more than two of us here at a time. But you know,
I follow. So you're at the shop right now
yeah. I'm hanging out right now at my desk.
at Aurora, Illinois, or
I'm
in
in Aurora,
Aurora.
Illinois. I'm at Malavita Tattoo. Technically, the shop's in Montgomery, but we're like right on the border of Aurora.
I feel like Aurora has, where have I mean, I know it's made the news before. I know I've heard it before. Are you guys known for good things, or are you like known like
A lot of
Flint
people
is?
know us from like Wayne's World.
Oh, okay.
You know,
That's
like
where he was in
Wayne's
Aurora,
World.
Illinois.
Yeah, Wayne's World. But honestly, it's like we're just the smallest suburb near Chicago, man. I mean, we're not small. We're the second largest city in Illinois.
Okay.
And it's the same thing. You go to a large city, you got a lot of poverty, you got a lot of gang problems, you got stuff like that going on.
You got a
Aurora's
rich
actually
end, you got
known.
a poor end.
Yeah, Aurora's actually known for having like the most Latino Marines in the United States, though. So majority of
Really?
Marines that come out of here, it's all Mex a lot of Latinos.
I mean, I'm not surprised necessarily by the Latino aspect, but I'm kind of surprised that is there a base nearby or something?
Is there a Marine base nearby? There is. I don't think there is. No.
How does it that so many Marines just settle there, or is it that the recruiters, they hired a couple of good recruiters from the hood with Latino,
They must
you
have.
know?
I mean, they hit us with the good perks and everything. A lot of, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember being in high school and those guys were set up at the lunchroom like every day.
Yeah, God bless them for it.
Yep.
Nothing I ever was good at doing, but
Yeah,
I'm glad that other people do, because then we can live in this luxury.
right.
So at that point, I guess thanks for your service. What led to teaching the seminars? Why did you decide at one point that you're like, you know, I'm really good at this. I'm doing a unique thing. I'd really like to water down my impact on the industry by teaching everybody else in the world how to do it.
Honestly, it was kind of like a popular demand thing. I got a lot of I get asked the same question so much. Like I'm telling you, man, people hate it when you tell them to practice. And like after a while, it's like, man, would you mind like can I sit there and watch you? Can I do this? Can I do that? And it's like I've had a couple of apprentices like, attempts at having an apprentice, and this is not for me. It's just something that kind of happened, you know. Once you and Candy kind of approached me with the idea, I was like, you know, yeah, I'd love to give it a go. You know, see how that goes.
I
I
should
really
say
think
candy,
like
but
in the
yeah.
beginning, you know, to me in my head, I'm always trying to figure my stuff out. You know, I feel like any artist worth their salt is going to sit there and kind of look at their work and critique their own stuff and not be happy with most of it. You know, like me, I'm
Yeah.
always looking to improve. You know, I don't like my stuff. You know, my girl was making fun of me the other day. She's like, yeah, I love this tattoo you just did. I was like, yeah. I go, man, I was just wish I would have done this or this different. And she's like, yeah, but that's your stuff. You're gonna judge it harder. You know, so people to ask me like, man, how do I do this or can you show me this? It's like what? You want to learn from me? Like, bro, I'm trying to figure it out myself. You know.
Was there something in that then that you might give on to people too? Because some people aren't hard on their tattoos, and you'll be talking with them about their tattoos, and you'll be like, yeah, this one looks like this or that could be a little better, and they'll be like, yeah, and they'll give you an excuse, and they're
Yeah, you
plenty
know,
happy with that excuse.
yeah, it's like, why do you ask me then? Like, you know, don't ask me. I don't like that. I don't like when people ask that. Like it's
Critique
cool.
this,
I've had
please.
people show me tattoos and like, man, do you think I should have done this or what could I have done different here? Like if they're pointing out certain aspects of it that maybe they're confused about or they need help, that's cool. I love giving my input on that because all right, you're fine-tuning yourself. You
Yeah.
know what I'm saying? But if it's like someone who's, hey, what do you think of this? like, yeah, it's cool, man. You know, that's cool. Like,
well, then you give them their opinion, and they're like, yeah, but I did that because, and you're like, well, why the fuck are you asking me
that? Or they look at me like, oh, fuck, I thought it was fucking fine, man. And it's like, oh, okay, so you wanted a compliment. You're not actually looking to fucking improve on anything. You didn't want to know what was wrong with it, you know?
Yes,
so it's like, I do. Kind of tiptoe around those conversations, and so I don't even like getting asked them initially. It's like, oh, I don't know what type of person you are. Which one are you going to be?
Yeah, are you serious about wanting the critique? I feel that out now. I feel I kind of like I just start out with the compliments, and if it seems like that was enough for them, they're happy to go away. And you know, I keep the critique to myself because it half the time doesn't help them.
Yeah,
you know, because if they find an excuse, then they didn't learn.
Yeah, and I don't want to be that guy. They go and run. Oh, this Vampiro's a fucking asshole. He said my piece sucked. Or this. Yep. I'm not like that. First of all, I didn't walk up to you and say, "Hey, that fucking sucks." You approach me with your piece, you know, like. But yeah. you're not gonna give that context when you're talking shit later, you know.
Yeah. I wonder if is there a no bullshit to your seminars? Like, do you kind of go over anything like that? Or because now they're at your seminar, everybody better be ready.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've had the seminar, so I mean, the last time I think in the beginning, I always try to state, man, because again, people take things way different. You really got to like cover all bases so no one's thinking different or make sure everyone's on the same page. But like, you know, when I have a seminar, I'm teaching, I'm like, hey, like, you know, just so you guys know, this isn't like, you're not going to take this and we're not going to have this conversation. You're going to go home and be a badass lettering artist. You know, you guys can, this is just something, me sharing my process, how I do things. And if it's something that's going to benefit you, or if it's something you're going to go home and you're going to work on and inspire you and you're going to put the effort in, then we can, that, you know, saying, then you're going to actually get something out of it. So it goes back to how you said, man, like, do they want to do it? Do they really love it? Or do they not?
Yeah.
You know? Is that
what has created the inspiration for you then to want to continue? Even though you look at your work and you're like, yeah, it could be better here and there. That's the kind of stuff that makes other people stop.
Well, that's what I love about it. I love the challenge. Like I said, I started this when I was 17. This was just when I was a kid, man. This was just a hustle to me. You know, I came up doing tattoo parties. I went through my years of just drinking and acting a fool. And it took me a while to get my head out of my ass. And to realize, like I look at tattooing something beautiful as hell. Like, this is my life. It's not a job. It's not a career. It's not a fucking fad. It's not one of these little Instagram. It's not an Instagram post. It's not something that it's like, oh, meant to make me cool or nothing or feel cool. It's like, I love this shit. It's been able to support me through my life. It's been able to keep get me out of trouble. It's been able to put food on the table. You know, my kids are growing up in this life. You know, I got my kids. Mm-hmm. And shit, it's coming up, you know, it's a part of them too, so it's my life. And I look at it like, man, like, I'm blessed that I started this, and that I can, and I actually, like, I'm so happy that I pursued this and continue to pursue it. I like, now that it's like, man, all I have to do is draw. I gotta practice on art. I gotta, you know what I'm saying, like, people are trusting me with their skin to mark them permanently. Now I'm tattooing tattoo artists, I'm blasting people's faces, I'm doing a lot of extra stuff. I get to travel the fucking world. Like, what?
Well, tattoos make a difference on people too. I know that
some people, it actually changes their lives, and it's like, wow, like, I love this. I love it with a passion. So it's like, man, and the aspect too, where, like I said, man, I hyper fixate. If I really want to get something done, I'm gonna keep working on it. Am I the best? No. Am I the most disciplined? No. But am I still continuing to go at it? Am I still working on it? Hell yeah, and I'm gonna continue to. You know,
let's get back into, not back into, but you kind of mentioned that you were a fuck up for a few years there when you were up. I'm guessing. And then you said that was around 17 that you started tattooing. You were doing parties. It was a hustle. Hell, where, let's go back to like little 6 and 7 year old Vampiro.
Yeah.
Which I can't imagine. Was that your nickname forever? Or,
No, it wasn't. That was just some recent. I changed my name on Instagram to that, and then it just stuck.
Right on. Are you familiar with the wrestler too?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, have you got a chance to meet him?
I have not.
Okay. I'd love to be there for that. You're both into gothic dark shit, and then I'm curious though if he'd be offended, and then you're like, fuck, now it's on. We gotta fucking beat the 6 foot three motherfucker up. Yeah, 220
right. And then I can tattoo him after.
But so little 6, 7 year old Vampiro wasn't your nickname. No. But who's inspiring? Was there art in your household? Was there anybody inspiring it, or was it class or what?
I honestly, I grew up in like a I had a pretty rough childhood. Things weren't easy for me, man. You know, I had like,
Was that in Aurora too?
I was born and raised in Aurora, Illinois. You know, I was living on the east side. I lived all over the east side, west side, but like I grew up on the east side as a kid. So I think, honestly, I think the art and the drawing just kind of came as an escape. Like it was just kind of something to do, you know, we didn't have like all the fancy toys. We weren't the richest, you know, like we weren't the richest. I can't even say I had like mom and dad in the picture. You know, I was as a kid, I was like 2 weeks here with my mom, 2 weeks with my dad, you know, things like that. So he eventually went to jail, and then I was just with my mom, and she didn't have the coolest lifestyle either. Like she just we're just bouncing around, moving places, different boyfriends. She wasn't the most picture perfect mother there was. You know, I haven't seen that lady since I was 12.
Oh man, I'm
Yeah,
sorry
yeah.
to hear.
No, I mean, it's okay, man. It worked out for the better. You know,
Well,
I feel like
now,
everything
yeah.
happens for a reason, and a lot of things we go through make us the people we are. You know, so like I learned a lot of harsh lessons as a child, as a younger person.
Do you have forgiveness
Yeah,
for
and so
what
like,
you've been through then?
yeah, so like for so like it makes it easier for me to not take things so bad. You know, it makes it easier for me to actually just work a little harder. It makes me a better dad too, and an artist, I feel. I'm not such a sensitive person, you know?
Well, isn't that positive typically when we're talking about parenting,
Yeah.
sensitivity? Or do you believe that maybe we've
No, I
gotten to
mean,
a point
when
that
I say
it's
I'm
a
not a
little too
sensitive
far?
person, I mean that I don't allow like negative things to affect me as bad. You know, I can kind of roll with the punches. You know, it made me durable. You know, so like drawing as a kid, it was just something like I used to just do all the time. It was just like, all right, you know, nothing else really to do. It's just like, all right, I'm just gonna kind of sit there. I remember what like now like I think about like my grandmother, my dad's mom, when I used to talk to my dad on the phone, you know, when he was incarcerated, she would I'm a fidgety person, man. I'm always fucking with a pen. Right now I got a pen inside of a grip and I keep taking the grip off the pen on and off. I'm always fidgeting, you know, fucking with something. So she would slip a notepad and a pen in my hand while I'd be on the phone. You know, and that it
You
was
just
like,
doodle.
yeah, doodles, sketches, and it was like, you know, so that was my thing. I was like, all right, cool, just kind of fucking around here and there.
You
But it
save
was,
any of them?
no, those are long gone. Those are all gone. Yeah, I was just, so
So
you know, you
somebody
think
was,
about,
though, they were putting a paper and pencil in your hand. Your grandma, it sounds like, was at times.
yeah, and then you know, and then as growing up as a teenager, stuff. My dad was very open. You know, when he got out, he was very open. Like, it wasn't like no, you gotta be a doctor. You gotta be a lawyer. It was like, man, as long as you're not fucking up, I don't care. You know.
It's like, have you ever been incarcerated yourself then?
No, thank God I haven't.
Fuck yes. Nice job, bro.
Yeah.
So
I've
dad was able to let you learn from his lesson.
Yeah, I mean, I still went and I always told my dad, it's like, man, it's not your fault. I've gone and done my fair share of dumb shit. You know, I've gone through all that. I just like, luckily, I've never gone to jail, man.
Yeah. Good though. Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess you'd probably have a career in there of sorts.
Yeah,
I'm
right?
pretty sure I know what you'd be doing.
You're right. I wonder.
Everybody inside the prison cell block C's got a face blasted out. Like, what
Right.
happened there?
You know, I have
Anyways.
luck.
So, school, anybody, any art classes in school or anything like that?
Not just basic art, regular art classes, extracurriculars. I wasn't big into school, man. I went in, made sure I passed. I got out. Even high school is hard, man. I didn't want to finish high school. The only reason I did is for my dad, actually. I was like, man, I'll get this diploma. I'm like the first in four generations to have a high school diploma.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so it's like, all right, cool. I got that. And
So now you're working on your kids to get a college one, or what do you think of that?
right now, man, I got a my son is 8 and my daughter is 6. And I think I'm really just pushing them. I want them to be themselves, man. I'm really a big person. I mean, just be yourself. You know, my
Well, we're
son
seeing
right
that this
now.
college is it's a sucker's game at some point. I mean, not that it's I know the statistics, and you're like, you're getting more money if you're like, and you're also like, yeah. But it's also been priced outside of the means of the average American family. And one reason why, I don't know if it's the reason why Latinos would fill up the Marines, but I know it's why poor people would fill up the armed services, is because college is priced out of our means. And then all your life, they're telling you, you won't have a college degree. You're not going to make it anywhere.
And then what do they do when they get this degree? Nothing.
Oftentimes. I mean, that's
You think that
actually,
fucking Wendy's, McDonald's, you know, I mean, not saying
yeah.
that's bad, but it's like, you know, you
No,
do
but
all
that
you
is
put in
what
all
it
this
is.
work, spend all that money for a degree, and it's like for what? You could do something that you could have done without it.
And they're finding that many, because of the large number of people that graduate with a degree but don't end up using their degree in their career, I think that's adding to the it's not animosity, but you know, the idea of the successfulness or the necessity of college. Yeah. And there's also that where you're like, but it's dumb now. You get me. I'm going to complain.
No, I understand, man.
But I'm going to complain for a minute. It's greed. I'm going to put it down like, on greed.
I'm just going to start doing tattoos.
Well, how many? Yes. I mean, there was when I started tattooing, it's been almost 30 years I've been tattooing, and there wasn't any drop. There were a few, I'm sure, but there weren't. Like nowadays, you go to college for art degree, or you go to college for a graphic design degree or whatever. And a lot of those guys are dropping out and being like, this was lame. I started tattooing while I was in college. And I was like, this is cool. That's lame. I'm going to stick with the cool shit.
Right.
But that wasn't occurring as much. You know, it wasn't seen as art when I was coming up. You know, you didn't find a bunch of people that were trying to get into it or saw it as an outlet.
Yeah. Now, no, I understand too. When I started tattooing, it was the same around. I think it was like 2008, 2009, mm-hmm. around there. And it was kind of the same thing. It was still kind of looked down upon. You know, I was 20 years old when I got my first face tattoo, and everyone looked at me like I was fucking stupid. Like, what's the fuck wrong with you? You know?
Yep. You're gonna be fucking washing dishes forever. No one's gonna let you.
It was like, you know, like it was like you still kind of had to be a scumbag to be a tattoo artist back then.
Well, let's talk about face tattoos and the changes then that we've seen in our careers, because now if you want to be a top country music of a performing artist, you better have your face blasted with at least two jammers.
Yeah. They watered it down. It's watered down. I think a lot of people actually make it as a mistake, man. People don't realize the impact it's going to have on them. Like, mm-hmm. or like when you really look at it, it's not like, you know, some of these people, they get these face tattoos and it's like, it's not you. It's not part of you. That's just, it doesn't look good on you. It's kind of like, that they're struggling to get a job. They don't have the right income. And it's like, just kind of a downhill spiral. I'm not going to blame it directly on the tattoo, but like, it does just go to show that like, it's something that people don't take serious anymore, you know, because it's so watered down. It's so broadcast out there. It's like, it's whatever, you know? So where I remember back in the day, it's like, man, to get a little fucking face tattoo was a big deal.
Yeah, and they call you Mike Tyson forever.
Yeah, I remember it. I got some bats on my face when I was like 20 or 21, and everyone, oh, look at you with the birds. Okay, Tyson. And it was like,
They were calling you Tyson.
Yeah.
I guess, but there's something in that. That, I mean, I was watching the Grammys a couple nights ago.
Yeah.
And, I don't know anybody anymore. I don't know anybody. So everybody on stage is all brand new to me. But I was amazed at how many country performances were being sung by people that you're like, except for maybe the cowboy hat and shit. Right. You know, that you look like you're straight from the hood. You look like you're from Flint with a Flint face sleeve.
Everybody's trying to find their niche, and when one doesn't work for them, they kind of just jump to another one. And I feel like that's how you get mixed groups like that. You know, it's like, oh, okay, rapping wasn't working for me. Let me try country music. You know,
but in some cases, it was right. Post Malone rap was working fine for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
it's music. You know,
it's that crossover. Was it Shania Twain started it back when she had Any Man of Mine or whatever. Or Man, I Feel Like a Woman, whatever. Those songs that she started to have, she had crossover hits, and they charted on the country, and that was a good amount of money. But then they charted on the pop, and that was a much larger amount of money. And because it was sharing in the two categories, it was a huge amount of money.
Right.
And then Beyonce was like, I like being rich.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Can't be mad at him for that, right? Like, why not? Why not?
I can. I will. I do. I let everybody else not be mad about it. But I do. I get not offended or mad. I don't know. Maybe that's the wrong word to use. But I keep a keen eye on greed because I was raised up Christian. And although I departed far from the religion and the dogma, I do find that greed is the biggest driver of many of the ills of society. Candy's all right. She's like, wrap it up, Kyle. You're on your fucking soapbox. But she doesn't mean wrap up. She's get back to the real. You got fucking Vampiro here. Treat Vampiro like Vampiro's Vampiro, and you are Vampiro. So I'm sorry. Let me
Yeah, I'm
actually
good.
ask you some questions that are more industry related. And we kind of already actually I've got some here I've put down, and I just now realized we've already gone over several of these, like how the tattoo industry views education and how it's become more accepted. Where
Yeah.
it is, we're all realizing that this is an education thing, and there's a large sharing. Did you come up in a time when old timers, when you would ask them a question, and they'd be like, "Well, what you got to do is go run your needle into a spoon for about 10 minutes before you tattoo. That's really going to help your coloring."
You know what? Like, I don't know. I was weird. Like, my apprenticeship was like, I started tattooing out of my bedroom. And then there was this guy at a flea market near me, and he was tattooing like all my friends, all my underage friends and stuff. He's not around. And so I mean, I went to a couple shops in like Chicago. I don't even remember the names. I walked into a few shops. I've asked the guy who tattooed me when I was like 14 to apprentice me, and he like kind of laughed in my face. Or some guys were like, "Yeah, give me $50,000, I'll show you the tattoo." I was like, "Yeah, fuck you," you know, like,
Yeah.
yeah, it's like you might just say no, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, man, like I said, back then there wasn't Instagram. YouTube was like barely, it was like a rare, like they were barely coming up. There were no resources. It was still super
And
gatekept.
nobody wanted to share. Am I wrong?
Nobody
I bought
wanted
a
to share.
machine from a guy, and he was watching me walk out the door with it, and you could see some kind of, "Oh my
Yeah.
God, hold up for a second. Hey, hold up for a second. How do you want that machine to run?" he says. And I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, do you want it as a liner or a shader?"
Yeah.
I said, "Well, which is this?" He says, "Well, which did you want?" I said, "Well, I already got a liner, so I guess I want a shader." And he says, "Yeah, that's set up like a liner. You'll want me to set it up like a shader." Now, in hindsight, now that I realize he asked me first, which I needed, and then whatever it was, he just wanted to get that back in his hand. So he
Right.
got the machine back in his hand, and he took an Allen screw and he went to the top spring, and then he fucking put that in the screw, the Allen key
Yeah.
actually into the screw, and he bent the fuck out of that. Yeah, just fucking my spring right up. And he's like,
Real
"There you go, running perfect.
quick.
Enjoy."
Dickhead.
But
You know, and yeah,
that
but
was what
my
we were
guy
doing
was
there.
like, he would never tell me anything directly, or he would. I remember one of the biggest parts was like, I had to bug the shit out of him, first of all, to apprentice me. And it was like, I remember he didn't even remember my name for like 3 months.
You think it was on
It was
purpose, or
like,
well, it could have been that Shaolin monk trick, like where they're like, "You're too fat to work out as a Shaolin monk. Go
No, it
away."
was actually, it was on purpose. It was funny because like, I get, look, you know, I smoke weed. So like, I'd show up pretty high, and I knew my duties in the morning were like, open up the shop, the little flea market booth, you know, open it up, turn the music on, get the swept up and mopped. You know, I'd be high as hell doing that. And he'd come in also high as shit, and we'd just be avoiding each other because we didn't, I didn't know if he was okay with me smoking, and he didn't know if I was like somebody who's gonna be like, oh man, he smokes weed, you know.
Yeah.
It was a while till it was like we both didn't have anything to smoke, and we're talking about it. He's like, you smoke? I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, me too. And I was like, yeah, I go, yeah, I've been avoiding you. Me too, you know, yeah.
Every morning I wait till my high's gone so I can say what up.
Yeah. But I remember his thing was like, man, like, you know, we had certain, you know, there were certain boundaries, there's certain rules put on me being there. It was like I was a kid. You know, one of them was like, he's like, man, I'm never gonna repeat myself to you. And I'm like, all right. Like you know, at first I didn't really understand the heaviness of that, but he was right. You know, he would show me this, you know, you want to adjust, you know, maybe your machine is gonna hit a little harder. We could adjust this by bending it up a little bit. But then it'll be like, man, why is my machine not running right? And it's like, I don't know. You
Told
know,
you once.
yeah, I already told you, man. Like, we talked about this, and it's like, oh, all right, I'll fucking figure it out. You know, he was a big figure it out, sink or swim type person. Like,
But then that was, I imagine that made you listen more
a lot
after that.
more. I pay attention more. I had to like be on it. So I give him, he didn't really teach me the aspect of like, and even him, you know, he's a good ass artist, but he wasn't showing me like art-wise stuff. He wasn't showing me how to draw. He wasn't showing me the techniques, this and that. He was more like, he's the one dragging me to tattoo parties. He was the one who, like, after I had a couple interactions with some clients, would pull me aside and be like, man, you can't talk to people like this, or you can't let them talk to you like this, or, you know, next time you can word it this way or this way. You know, he it really taught me the hustle. He taught me the work aesthetic of it. You know, he taught me how to grind. I give it to my homie Smokey, man. He really put me on, like, as far as like really understanding like how to like operate in that environment, you know.
And you say he's not tattooing anymore? Is he passed
No,
on?
he's around, man. He's just not in the US no more. I don't really want to
Okay.
say he's not around here.
Right on.
I haven't talked to him for a long time, but
sorry to hear.
Yeah, no, it's cool, man. But like, I said, he taught me a lot, man, and he really put me outside of my comfort zone a lot. So it's like you know, like I really wasn't allowed to say no to any money in his place. That was one of the rules. I can't say no if it's something I'm uncomfortable with or anything like. It's like, nah, dude, get the fuck over it. Get in there, make the money.
Portraits?
Portraits, man. Those I wasn't allowed to touch in the beginning.
Okay.
I wasn't allowed to, but I'm talking like if it was like a weird, smelly client, or they
Yeah.
wanted
No, you
boyfriend,
got to tattoo that.
girlfriend. Yeah, I was never like, oh, I'm not tattooing a significant other's name on you. No, I was like, all right, you want it? Fuck it, I do it. Come on, you
Do
know.
what about now? Do you tattoo significant others' names?
Oh yeah, I don't care. Like that's your decision.
Do
You
you
get the
even
money.
give them a like, hey, maybe you're tempting fate. You do that
Nope.
one?
Hell
Why
no.
not?
That's
Make
on.
your mistakes.
Yeah, go ahead. You got enough to afford it? All right, cool. Let's do it. You know.
What about the ring finger? Do you tell anybody, hey, you're never gonna cover that up?
Nope. Go ahead, run it. I can't. I can't. I got my girl's name on me. She has my name
Oh.
on her. I can't. You know what I'm saying? I practice what I preach, man. I'm not gonna say until you do
Ooh.
it when I'm doing it.
I'm right there. Always. I'm such a dick about it. But of course I hate misspelling names. So there's a reason that I'm probably, a driven dick about somebody recently asked me about getting their ring finger tattooed at a bar. I was going next door for some change or something like that.
Yeah.
At the bar that, and they were like, "You do tattoos? How much would you charge for a ring finger?" And I was like, "Ooh, move. Shit, man, you don't want to tattoo your ring finger because you can never cover it up." And she's like, "Well, I don't even care. If we were to break up, I would keep it anyways." And I'm like, "Yeah, I've heard that before."
Yeah. I actually had a case one time where I was tattooing a couple. It was crazy because they're getting each other's names on their chest. And like he's like, all right, she's like, make him go first. I'm like, all right, cool.
Oh,
So she goes
no.
outside to smoke a cigarette and he sits in the chair and he's like, man, I can't stand this fucking bitch. I'm telling you what, man. He goes, don't do it too crazy because I'm coming back to get it covered up. I just got to make sure that I make her happy for the next month or two and so for some financial divorce.
Yeah,
Like, damn, all right, yeah, I got you. Then
wow.
they switch places. He's smoking outside and she's getting the name and she's like, don't do it too crazy. I hate this motherfucker. I'm not. I was like, what the fuck?
You're like, I can do it in red. It's
Yo,
super
no,
easy
to
to
me,
cover
I
up
was just
red.
like, yeah, I'm laughing because I'm like, man, like, I'm not gonna tell her what he said and vice versa, but
Right.
it's funny to be stuck in that predicament. Like, wow, people are fucking crazy.
It is. That is. I've because we oftentimes see that, right? Where they push the boundaries of the relationship. They're like, all right, bought a cactus, it's still alive. They bought a dog, it's still alive. And then they're like, fuck, he hasn't bought me a ring yet. I guess I'll go get his name tattooed on me. And
Yeah,
then
yeah.
he'll have to get a ring and then, get the name tattooed on him. A week later, she's back in running him down like, that fucker's been screwing my best friend.
And then they have a kid.
Oh, God. Yeah. And I just found out I'm pregnant. So, yeah, I mean, not that it doesn't happen. I've certainly ruined relationships in the same. I tattooed a girl. I tattooed her for 18 years. I've tattooed more than one of her children, and her and this guy had been together for all that time. So she's like, Kyle, I already know. We've talked about it a million times. You told me 7 years ago, that we should never get each other. And I was like, yes, but we've been together 18 years now. So we don't even need to have the conversation, Kyle. Let's just do it. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You already know. If you're already informed and you still want to make a mistake, I'm all about it, right? I like my paycheck. And
Right.
then she comes in 2 weeks later and he's found out. She was like, yeah, that tattoo worked, I guess, because it forced him to admit to me that he'd been cheating on me for 3 years.
Wow, that's crazy.
But I feel like sometimes that tattoo that they're getting,
Yeah.
okay, here's my opinion of it.
All right, I'm listening.
That if you get a tattoo of your significant other in any way, I don't even care, right? If it's anything, it's like their name or it's just this relationship, lettering, especially all those things that you're putting on you so that you're less attractive to large numbers of the population of society. Not everybody, because there's whores. Whores love that shit. You know what I mean? There's like, oh, it smells like desperation. Oh yeah, he's got his girlfriend's name right over his eyebrow. I'm
Ooh, my
fucking
neck.
him tonight.
Yeah,
Yeah, yeah. Because like
yeah.
those whores, they don't know how to feel important unless they're in the middle of somebody's relationship. It's what they were taught in their family, whatever, But that's who they are. So like you're literally making them more attractive to whores. That's the worst ones, right? But my other opinion of it is that, like, I wear a wedding ring, and every day I wake up and I go ahead and I put it on. Well, honestly, I keep it on all times, but I make a choice. And I feel like once that tattoo is on that wedding ring area, you no longer have a choice. So sometimes me and my wife might be fighting and I'm mad, you know? And I could take off that ring, but I don't. I might even play with it. And it reminds me that I have that choice to take it off, just spin it in my finger or something like that. But once that tattoo's on there, now I'm instead of reminding myself of how I want to be dedicated outside of my anger, how I want to be dedicated to this relationship, now I'm trapped in it. And now the feelings of frustration rise up.
It's not a reminder anymore. It's almost like fucking like a ball and chain to you.
Yeah, and then the frustration can turn to anger. And it ain't even to me. Like, this is how I see it for many, many people. Many people put that name on them, on their ring finger, whatever, and they don't realize that the commitment that they're making, because it just doesn't seem like that, you know? It doesn't seem like, because they're in their good time, right? That's why it doesn't seem like it. Because you're like, this is for good, for bad and poor, for good and bad, what, you know, whatever the marriage dude makes you say. But it's like sickness and health, all that shit. And then they don't think about none of that when they're getting the tattoo, because they're not getting the tattoo while they're in sickness. They're not getting the tattoo when they're in their down moment. And then it becomes a trap to them. I feel like I see that occur, and sometimes within weeks of having that, especially the ring finger, because once you tattoo the ring finger, you cannot cover that up.
I don't know, man. See, that's that. You know, it's funny you say that though. Like you use that analogy, using that because when I'm like, some people are iffy about getting their face tatted, especially with a tattoo artist. Like when it's their first face tattoo, and they're like, I don't know. That's usually what I tell them. I go, man, to me, like, cause to me, it's like, cause that's why I got my face tattooed was like, I tell them everybody, every tattoo artist, you probably find a few that I've actually said this to. I'm like, man, I go, to me, that face tattoo is like a wedding ring. It's showing you're married to the game. You love tattooing. You're about this. This is your life. You know, same thing like you said, rich, poor, sad, whatever. I go, this is what you want to do. This is what you're in. I go, that's your wedding ring, man. Like, you're married to your wife. You want to show that you're devoted. You're showing everything that. I go, that's the same thing as a face tattoo is to me, to the game, you know?
Yeah, I do. I like that. I mean, that's why I got my throat tattooed, was as dedication.
It's dedication, right? Yeah, it's like, all right, you know what? This I feel like I'm. This is me saying like, hey, I'm in this for life, you know? And
I do.
so the way I look at it is like, you know, when these people get their names, everything and stuff like that, it's like, A, it could be covered, you know, same as if you get it to where it can be covered, you know. I think sometimes some of the bigger ones and some of the extreme ones are too much. Some of it can be too much. But like if it's something that can be covered, or if it's something to where it's like, you know what, you've obviously like had this affection for this person, you've had these emotions, you guys shared these memories, everything, and whether it's bad or good or and it ends. You still a part of you, a part of your life is still given to that person, as by vice versa, they gave it to you. So it's like it could be a bad fucking memory or a bad reminder, but say, hey, you know what, man, you still did that shit, you
Yeah,
know?
well, until you get your until you're with the next person,
Until
they're
you're
not
with the next
person.
one, yeah. But that's why I say
See,
cover
well,
that
that's
shit.
what letter is. So my advice to anybody that's got a name on them, you break up, get it covered up soon, because your significant other coming, your future significant, she's gonna want it, he's gonna want it, they're gonna want it covered.
Yeah, I think
But
that's one
when
thing
they
that
want it
women
covered,
that they water down for me or like desensitize me to, because it's like, you could just get it covered, you know?
yeah,
Like,
but how many times have so when someone says get it covered, so you usually don't, once they get it, they break up, they leave that tattoo on them. It is the reminder that you said. They get with somebody else. Now that person's tired of seeing it. They
yeah.
go into the tattoo shop. They want to get it covered. And I don't know, 90% of the time, they're like, yeah, I'd like to cover it with my name. Can you do it three times bigger?
Well, that's where it's like you gotta learn your lesson. You gotta learn your lesson. You know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, that one didn't work out. Cool, got it covered. Now it's like you gotta say no, you know? Or know that you get it to where it's like, okay, I know I might have to get this covered eventually, you know?
Well, that's where I get in with the ring finger, because I'm a fan of, and it's just because there's an asshole that lives inside of me that just loves to shit on people's stuff sometimes. So if I see a cool looking tattoo, like, look at this tattoo, I'm like, wow, that's dope. But you and I are tattoo artists, right? And you look at it and you're like, there's an area right there with an awful lot of black. And it's in a prominent space that I normally would have made a focal point. But the focal point for this tattoo is kind of off. It's not
Whose
where it
name
needs
was
to be.
it?
There's a cover up in there, right? So the first thing I say is, I love that tattoo. It's nice. And it's even a cover up, huh? And then they're all pissed off. They're like, well, you can tell.
Yeah,
Yeah,
man.
no, I mean, barely. I just really wanted to fuck your day up. That's the whole thing. So now when it comes to a ring finger tattoo, to me, you can't cover those unless you blast every one of your fingers,
Right.
right? And even then, if there's something funny around that one left ring finger, like it's a bigger ring or something, you're
You know.
like,
You know.
I know what happened. So you're married before, huh? Like, dude, you can tell? Yeah. And that's the thing about covering up the ring finger. Usually people will tattoo the hand and then they'll bring one tattoo down on top of that one ring finger as though I don't know that that used to be, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
And
I
at
know
that
what
point,
you're
to me, it's like,
doing
eh, you know what? Fuck it.
there.
It's gone. Whatever. You know, like, I don't gotta see it. Like, I don't care.
That
You
is
know?
usually they're a pro. I'm just somehow there's that asshole that lives in me that just wants to like subconsciously shit on other people's tattoos on them when they're so happy about it. Like, dude, look at this cover up. You don't even fucking know. Didn't you know? Like, yeah, oh, is her name Mary? Well, how can you can see that in there? Yeah, it's okay, man.
You can at least make out like a letter or two. Like, you know, unless they did it like real good, you can still usually tell.
I find I really enjoy cover up, so I spend a lot of time with that. Like I have that inside of me that wants to shit on somebody else's cover up. So now I apply that, of course, as I'm doing a cover up, and they'll a lot of times people be like, yeah, that'll work right there. I'm like, no, it won't. No,
No.
because somebody is going to look at
I would
it.
make fun of it like this, you know?
Yeah. If it was a kid on the playground, here's how I'd make fun of it. You got fucking shitty shoes, man. Whatever. Tell me about the pros and cons of constantly being on the road.
Pros and cons of constantly being on the road. Man, like I got two kids, so it's like, and I have like a kind of a split schedule with their mom, so sometimes if I miss a weekend or if I have to like switch a weekend or things like that, it kind of sucks for me, man. I miss my kids a lot, you know? That would probably be the worst thing. But I've explained to them, it's like, hey, you know, like they know what I do. They're very open. My son, I tell him where I'm going. He'll Google and YouTube the city. He'll YouTube whatever show it is. So like, hey, I'm doing Villain Arts Chicago or Villain Arts Philadelphia. He'll be on YouTube looking at Villain Arts Philadelphia and he'll see what's going on. He's been to shows with me, so like he knows that I'm working. You know,
He
I'm
probably sees some John Twizan videos occasionally then.
exactly. That's exactly
Okay.
what. Yeah. So he gets, you know, and like I said, even taking him to a show, he realizes like, oh yeah. I was like, yeah, man. I go, look, like I don't drink. You know what I'm saying? I go, so I'm look, man, I'm not out here partying. I'm not out here living my best life. I go, I'm out here working so that when I get home, I can do stuff with you guys. You know, this is how I pay the bills. This is how you get them Nikes on your feet. You know, like this is what we're doing. I go, it's cool. I get to have some fun stuff. We can enjoy some fun stuff here and there. But I go, most of it is work. And that's about it. That. Eating like the food, sometimes the food on the road be like shit.
God,
Yeah, you know, like, oh man, some places like, man, especially over here, man, Chicago area, we got good ass food, man. So it's like to go
well,
like
everything
somewhere
except for
else,
your pizzas, but yes,
like, pizzas are awesome. Come on now, Kyle.
whatever.
Yeah.
I don't need a cake for dinner.
You know what? Everyone always says, like, oh, deep dish is our signature thing. No, you go over here, you get like double dough. You get a double dough or pan crust pizza.
It's still
Mazzotti's out
double
here.
dough, though.
Don't get a Chicago deep dish. Get some Mazzotti's or something. You're
Okay.
changing that tune.
It's only the deep dish part, but also it's now I have to dislike it. Like there were times, man, I loved that stuff, but now that I'm older, and every time I look at a carbohydrate, it goes to my hips. Now I have to find myself being like, "Fuck this shit! I need a thin crust. How about a no crust? Can you make that with chickpeas?"
And then honestly, and it's expensive, man. Like being on the road is expensive. It takes a lot. It's a lot of time. It's just a lot of like, a lot of moving around. You know how it is, man. I
I
just,
do. It's. I don't know how a lot of people do it.
yeah,
I did it with
I
some
can understand.
popularity from Ink Master, and then also with some really like I took a seminar. God damn it! What is his name? He's a friend of mine too, and I can't think of his name right now. But I took a seminar
Know
on
that
tips
feeling.
on traveling, and it was a lot of useful information that I still use to this day. Even if it's just like point the fan when you're on the airplane. I don't know if everybody knows this. Point it at your nose, and even though it's cold, it is at least blowing the germs away from you. So there's less chances to get sick if you actually have that fan pointed right at you. And then also, like, if you're going overseas to England, You're not getting a work visa. We know who you are. We're not doing that. So when you go, he would say, let them know if they ask any questions about why you're bringing your equipment and these things. You're going to tell them that you're coming to a seminar where the artist there, and now you should have the seminar pulled up ready to go because they can Google this shit nowadays. So you're going to a seminar, and the artist has asked you to bring all of your equipment so he can tell you about different aspects of it.
Wow, that's the same thing too. Like I heard Canada, you have to mail your stuff there before you go.
Yeah, that was, he says that's better. If you can mail it, certainly better because now they're not looking at you. I've had a friend explain too, if you go overseas, and he would go over there for a month or two at a time. And you're like, man, how do you deal with the work visa? I mean, they're on you, you know? And he's like, I go every year. And I'm like, well, how do you come? He's like, I make, 10 to 20,000 in a month and I come back. I'm like, how the fuck do you, what, you put it in your bank account? You keep a separate offshore account? He's like, I buy a Rolex.
Wow.
Yeah. And you're like,
Back
oh,
up it. Yeah.
yeah, he buys a Rolex, wear it on the plane, get off the plane, sell it on eBay. You just got your money back. No problem. Sometimes you even get a profit.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. See, I
Yeah,
never.
yes. Just stupid little. But so those little tips
Yeah.
help. I think, do you have any little tips?
Honestly, I did one mistake I made when I first traveling a lot is I used to bring the whole fucking everything in the shop. I bring the tray, this. I try and fill up the fucking booth, and as I'm doing it more, I swear my travel load gets lighter and lighter and lighter. I hate walking for you guys. Figure out you got to get to the airport. You got to find parking if you're parking the car. You got to haul that shit in the shuttle to the airport. You got to go through security with it. You got to go to your gate with it. You got
Pay
to
the oversized baggage.
get off. You got to make your way to transportation. Get to your it's carrying a lot
Hope
of
that
shit
it's
all
there
day.
at the carousel.
Yeah, I hate it. And me, I'm like, now I'm like, man, I literally travel with a backpack and my carry-on, and that's it, you know?
Is that also what inspires the large number of lettering that you do so that you only have to bring one set of ink, one ink?
I just bring my ink. You know, I bring like
Yeah.
a what is allegory doing? What is 3 4 ounces, 3 ounces, whatever, as long as it's smaller than that, you know, the travel size ones. Take one of those with me. If I do
Right
carry
on the.
it in the bag, which is like it depends, man. Like, if I depends what I want to bring. Sometimes I might bring like a lot of merch, or I'll bring some rolling trays or stuff. Then I'll bring a check-in, but then I'm not gonna have my carry-on. You know, I'm just gonna have my backpack. And that's one thing I could say right there. And it's plan ahead, think
Isn't
ahead.
that dangerous? Because
Huh?
now if you don't, you just have your bag, do you have your equipment in your backpack then? Okay,
I
I follow.
never, I never, I never let my machines go out of my sight. My
Yeah,
machines are
no.
one thing that stays with me no
No,
matter
I've
what.
had people are like, so we don't have the overhead space, so we're asking people to get a tag with us and you can stick it under the thing. Well, you're like, no, and they're like, no, that's gotta go. And you're like,
No,
no. Is it
I put it in
going
my
right
pocket.
under right now? It's like I try to wait around, or I'll say, there's, 15,000, I'll make up a number. There ain't no $15,000 worth of equipment in there. But damn close to it, to be honest, sometimes. I mean, depending on how many machines you got. But hey, there's $15,000 worth of equipment in here. Can you guarantee me that this will make it to Canada? And they'll be like, why don't you wait in line a little bit, see if we can get some room cleared, Any other like what was there was one tip that oh, this is a stupid tip, but I think it's very valuable. It sucks to sleep in a hotel room because they never close that curtain enough. You just can't, that you wake up in the morning and you're 6 o'clock in the morning because that light's right at your tower, pointed right at you, and you're like, what the fuck happened? Everybody turned the lights on. So we bring hooks and painter's tape to tape the curtain against the wall.
You're giving me tips.
Dude, it's a good one, right? You like it already. And then the garment hangers that they have in there. So those will clip the middle of that shut for you too,
No shit.
if you
Okay.
follow me. And then we just started bringing little clips too, because they're pretty cheap. You can bring little binder clips and stuff and do.
What I do is I try and bring I need a fan to sleep, man. I need a fan. You know what I'm saying? So on Amazon, you can just have a little portable fan. It fits in your backpack. You know, just something to clip on the bed. A little
Now,
air.
is it, you can't just use a fan app on your phone? It's got to be a fan for you.
No, I need the air. I need the breeze. You know, I need something
Okay.
like the noise and the breeze. I need it. So
I
like a
need the
little
noise,
fan.
but the breeze sometimes gets to me.
Yeah. No, I need the breeze. And everything I have is like collapsible. Like my tray, it's something to collapse. It's almost like a mini armrest. It's super light. Everything I have is collapsible. Like, and I and a big thing that people don't also remember is like your shoes. Like, man, I don't know how many times I've gone to a show in like a brand new pair of shoes and I'm hurting all weekend because it just hurt my feet from standing all
Oh,
day
because they're brand new.
walking around. Yeah, it's like, no, I bring something comfortable. I'm not really caring about looking good. I like to be comfortable.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I might be in Walmart sneakers or something, you know.
I do now because I feel like you're one of the people that always compliments my shoes if my wife has dressed me in a nice pair that day.
Yeah.
And and then I'll always look down at yours and be like, oh, he's just there with the comfies. But
Yeah,
now that makes some sense
yeah. I like being
because
comfy, man. I dress comfortable. I like to walk around comfortable because it's like, man, like you don't have the luxuries. Like I go all weekend. Sometimes you know, like not sitting on a couch, or sometimes it's not even leaning back till you lay down, you know, or you eat.
yeah.
So it's like if I can just make myself as comfortable as possible, why not?
What about I've had this occur, and I've heard other artists mention it, Gunner being one of them, that he traveled so much and you get a name across the country, but then you come back home to your little Flint town spot and everybody's moved on because they're like, Kyle's never here.
Yeah.
So I just got this guy. He's a great artist, and he is. You know, but now you're like, damn, my whole clientele in my area is gone.
Yeah.
Do
You know what? I've definitely felt that too. Like
okay.
at home, I'm nowhere near as busy as I'm at a show. You know, I actually have a lot of people who travel towards me. So I feel like that's a good pro to like really going out traveling is like people will travel to you. If you're accessible, you're doing everything right. People will make that venture. They'll make that trip. I've made a couple of trips to artists in other states just to go get tattooed, you know? And it's like, so like, that's just like steady upkeep. It's cool.
In
I
that regard, I imagine then there is a benefit too, and not that I've done this, so I don't know. But if you're in Illinois there, well, you want to do the Detroit show, you want to do the Cincinnati show, you want to do, I don't know if anybody, well, there's no one really doing Iowa anymore, is there?
Oh
But
no.
you want to do Minnesota and Milwaukee so that these places that are within driving distance to you within a couple hours, you can advertise to those people too then.
Yeah, easy.
But you find yourself going all over. Have
Yeah,
you been
I
out of the
love going all
country yet?
over. No, I haven't gone out of the country. I still got to get a passport.
Yeah, you're going to need one of them. If you do, have you been asked? I would imagine that there's a lot of
Oh, I've got a couple
tours.
invites for like Italy.
Yeah.
I really do want to go to Italy. I want to go to UK. Like I said, my schedule, my kids is the hard part.
Yeah.
If I go do that, I don't want to go for just a weekend. I mean, at least a week minimum, you know?
Yeah. And then you're missing your kids for that long.
Yeah, so I got to figure out the schedule, babysitter, all that. Their mom doesn't give me the easiest time to leave.
It's not cheap to if you decided to take your kids with you. Would you be able to watch your kids on the? Are they old enough that they could? We got
Out of
to
the
an age where
country, I don't
David
know.
was fine.
I'd be a little hesitant out of the country. Out of state, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've taken them. Like I said, I've taken them to a couple shows. They know what it's like. They're pretty good, man. They can sit there and hang out all day. They'll chill under the table and snack and be on their tablets. And
Yeah.
the problem I have with them is they're always asking me to buy them shit.
That's
Know?
a reason not to bring them almost, huh?
It's like I want this $50 doll or I want this $30 3D printed dragon. It's like, all right,
Yeah,
sure.
and I want it now, even though you could get it from Amazon for half price.
Yeah, I just seen you make 500. Like, shut up.
Don't say anything to anybody. Jeez.
Yeah.
Any memorable experiences traveling that you can entertain us with before I
Man.
start to let you go? We'll wrap this up here because I know we're getting on.
Too many. I don't know, man. Too many. Like, just too many. I love it. I you know, it's like you said, like, man, the spark of life is just unexpected things. And you know, some of the stuff man, I got people in New Jersey I consider family now. And I remember them asking me, like, man, what's up? Come tattoo at our shop tonight after a convention. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know you guys. He's like, man, I'll pick you up. I'll do this and that. You know, it's like, man, I don't know none of these guys. I don't want to get robbed of my tattoo equipment. You know, I don't want, you know, nothing like that.
But now it's obviously come that you guys, like you said, you're family. I
Yeah, we're
mean,
family now, but it was funny because I remember going over there and like they picked me up, they took me to the shop, you know, and you know the guy, you know, one of them pulled me aside. He's like, "Hey man, whatever you want, man, I can get you right now. You know, whatever your vice is, I'll get it for you right now." And I was like, "Man, honestly, Can you give me some Sprite? He's like, what? I go, you guys got nothing but Coca-Cola in this refrigerator, man. I just want like a 7-Up or a Sprite.
Yeah.
He starts laughing. He's like, you serious? I was like, yeah, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I don't know none of you from a can of paint, dude. I don't trust none of you guys.
Right. I ain't doing no
I'm on my
fentanyl
P's
here.
and Q's, boy. I ain't acting stupid around y'all. And he's like, I respect that. Like, all right. He liked that. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I started doing business with a lot of them more. And like, I consider them family now, you know?
That's awesome. Well, that's kind of, I mean, we begin to find ourselves as family on the road.
Yeah.
I feel that you were part of my family, my
Thank you.
extended Villain Arts family for sure.
I told you and Candy are my aunt and uncle, my show aunt and uncle.
Fuck yeah. I
You
ain't
know?
mad at it.
Yeah.
So when we, I tell me if you feel the same, I guess. I don't know how to phrase this question and find anything that you can add to it. But when we're on the show, because of our desire to travel light, we come sometimes, we don't have everything we need. And then you're forced to ask your neighbor, hey, can I borrow some Matticide? I don't want to buy a $40 thing just to tub, just to leave it behind. I'm
Right.
only going to need it 3 times throughout the weekend. I got 3 tattoos.
Right.
And that actually, that's where I think some of the best part of traveling, one of the very best parts, maybe unspoken parts, is being in an area with the purpose of doing tattoos, but finding yourself without everything that you need, and then having to rely on the community of tattoo artists.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And you know what? I feel like there's definitely some certain etiquette, you know. I feel like I'd ask a random stranger, like, you know, who or what, like something like that. But I think like as soon as we set up to start working for the weekend, if I don't know you and you're next to me, you saw, I mean, that's how we met. We're booth neighbors. You know, I'm gonna introduce myself. I'm gonna make sure I know who you are, who I am. I wanna see the vibe, you know. Or can we get along? You know, what's going on?
Can I get some of that plastic wrap? Can I borrow your scissors?
Yeah, you know, and after a while, it's like, you know, hey man, like, you know, I've been picking at your shit. Like, go ahead, man. Anything on my table's yours. You know, just don't, you know, put it back. You know, just put it back. Yeah, and I feel like there's etiquette, man. So it's like you said, oh, I got 3 tattoos this weekend. Can I just use your cap? Hell yeah, use it. You know, like I'm not like you said, greed. I was like, I'm not greedy. Like I'm like, use it, man. It's
What
different
are
if
the
like,
unspoken etiquettes that you're familiar that you use?
you know, that's one thing I always think of is like not t like I even tell my kids this all the time. Don't touch something that's not yours. If it's not yours, don't fucking touch it. You know, don't touch my machine. Don't just like reach over and grab something. Especially if we haven't talked about it. If it hasn't been said, you know, I don't like that. I
But
don't sit there and like conversate with like people. I don't sit there and butt into their conversations too much. Like, you know what I'm saying? Unless, like I said, I gotta get a feeling of who and how you are. But for the most part, it's that, man. Like, hey man, have respect. Like, don't block my booth. Don't have your people standing in front of my booth where nobody else can see my stuff. You know? Little things like that. It's like, man, we're all here on the same purpose
I feel
for the
like
same
that's a big
reason.
one that gets overlooked sometimes, because you're like, I'm for the artist who's doing this or allowing this to go on,
Yeah.
they're entertaining a group of people, but they're only tattooing one of them. And
Yeah.
so mom's there, two kids are there, one's in a stroller, and the other one's running around keeping mom busy. And then there's
Yeah.
an older adult or something, and they're all standing, not in front of the booth of the person doing the work, but in front of my booth where I'm trying to sell work.
Yeah, that's not cool, man. Like, hey, control your crowd, you know?
Control your people. And then one that I always break is I'm not supposed to, I'm getting better somewhat. And I used to be great at it, but I wouldn't enter without asking if I could come into the booth. But now I got so many friends there. Like, I just jump in. What you working on, bro? It's good. And then my
Yeah.
wife will point out that, I like just went into somebody else's booth. They were sharing a booth. So I'm going to see my friend, but they're sharing a booth, and that other person was looking at you a little funny ways. And you're like,
Right.
oh, well, that's just because I ain't made them laugh yet.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, if I don't know somebody, I'm not walking in your booth. Don't walk
Yeah,
in.
but you
You
also
don't know
don't jump
me.
in their conversations, you said.
Yeah, that's because we're, you know, we're sitting there like they're talking, they're doing their thing. It's none of my business. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey,
I
let me see it.
guess it's all my
Unless,
business too. I can't help it, man. Fuck it. I
well, you
love
know how it is.
jumping
When
into
we met, we were
cons.
talking mad shit to each other, you
Okay,
know?
yeah, I was like, man, did this go? Was this different? But I must have been open for it. You were like, oh no, Kyle's on.
Yeah,
He
it was
likes this
cool, man.
shit.
Because I don't wanna like, I'm not gonna be that guy who like butts into a conversation and get looks at all crazy. Like, well, what the fuck? Like, were we talking to you? You know what I'm saying? I don't wanna put myself in that position. I
I don't
gotta
know. I
feel
kind
you
of
out
like it.
first. Yeah, I gotta feel you out first, you know?
I feel like I want to say something that makes me put my foot in my mouth and then try to back my way out of it. See if I can. All right, try to grease this all over.
Yeah.
But that's me. I need to let you go. But let me ask you, if you see lettering going anywhere, like what the future of lettering, in your opinion, is there something on the horizon that you're working on yourself?
Honestly, I feel like lettering is timeless. I do feel like it's timeless. Maybe not my style specifically, but there's always going to be someone that's going to have their own creative touch to it, that's going to bring out something new and different. And we're getting to a point to where like people are evolving to where like some of these crazy styles you've seen before in the past, it's coming more of a common thing. The standard is getting higher for everyone, I feel. Not in just in lettering, but in everything. So that standard's being pushed now. You know, I'm starting to actually work more on like how I can like not do straight solid black. How can I throw some like gradients? How can I mess like really distort my stuff a little more, you know, and still make it legible though. You know, so there's like so many different ways to play with, experiment with. There's so many people doing different styles and experiments in their own ways with it. So like it's just going to keep feeding itself, you know?
Yeah, I realize as you were saying that most times I ask that question to people, we end up talking a little bit about AI. But then I just realized that there's two things AI can't do, and that's fingers and lettering.
Exactly.
So you've really positioned yourself for a good future here.
Hopefully, you know, hopefully. I'm not a big fan of AI. I appreciate people use it for like reference or like in a tough spot, but like, I don't know, man. I'm not a big fan of that. I love lettering because we're creating it. I love freehanding because it's something that's like it's like right then and there, you know?
Well, let me share a little bit of AI that I found has blessed my life somehow, and I'm surprised every time it does, and it shouldn't, and somehow it does, and I still go back to it. AI is shit is a hashtag, possibly. Maybe it's a handle. I think it's AI is shit on Instagram.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine started it, where he and his artists started taking pictures of their shit, their morning shit. And then they put it through an AI filter and ask it to turn to a cute fuzzy animal.
No shit.
You know, actual shit.
Wow.
So yeah, shit. But yeah, and it's like every one of these pictures you look at from a distance and just the little thumbnail, and you're like, it's a pile of shit. Click on it and you're like, oh no, it's not. It's a cute little ferret coming out of a hole. Oh no, it's a little fox grabbing its tail. But anyways, that's the end of my input for where AI is going.
Shit.
Shit. Yes, I think it can make shit better. It can really polish a turd. That's what AI can do.
There you go.
Okay, I've got to go. Candy. So, and when my wife comes in and tells me that, I know that I've stayed too long and I've said too much. Give me a real quick, I guess, idea of where we're going to catch you in the next couple of months, different seminars, conventions.
Next couple months, I'll definitely be in Lansing, Michigan for the Tattoo City Show in Michigan.
I will see you there.
Yes, sir. I will be doing Motor City in Detroit.
I will see you there.
And then I'll also be doing the Villain Art Chicago show in March.
Awesome. All right around me. I'll see you there as well.
Yep.
Oh, this is going to be fun bit of travels for us, man. I look forward to seeing you again, man.
Hell yeah.
All right. And with that, like I said, stayed too long, said too much. I'll let you get off to your day, and the rest of your crew can now start, you know, bumping their music and hollering loud, letting their artists scream at
them. Tired of me by now.
Love you, brother. Thanks so
Thank
much
you,
for being
bro.
A part of this.
Hell yeah. Thank you for having me, man.
No problem. Talk to you later.
Later.